This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara. Hi, Fat Mascara fam. It's me, Jen. And just me, Jen. Jess woke up this morning with the worst migraine. You guys know she suffers from them. So I am here by myself looking at an empty pink chair. And don't worry, you're not going to suffer through just me talking to myself for 20 minutes. We're actually just going to go right to the interview because it's a great interview. Before we do that, and before I tell you who it is, I want to remind you about our listener party. I promise Jess will be there too. It's September 20th, and we're doing it with St. Ives, the scrub brand. They have this little pop-up shop where you can make your own beauty products, lotions, scrubs, things like that. So it's Thursday, September 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Flatiron in New York City. If you want a chance to score a VIP invite, we'll have drinks, we'll have foods, we'll make beauty products, go to fatmascara.com, go to the blog, and enter there. All you have to do is tell us what product you would raise a wand to, then give us your information, click submit. You could also email us at info@fatmascara.com with the subject line St. Ives. Just tell us what product you'd raise a wand to, and then you are entered to get an invitation to our listener party. So now, the guest. It's actually a really great interview, which will make up for the fact that we're not going to be chitter-chattering at the beginning. We have Paula Begon, who we have been trying to get on the podcast forever. She's written dozens of books about beauty. She knows everything about chemistry, and she's also the founder of Paula's Choice. And we get into it with her. She spills some real tea. So listen up for that. We're not raising a wand at the end, so after the interview, bye-bye.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, at Plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. We are here with Paula Begon. She is a beauty journalist. She's written dozens of books. She used to be a makeup artist, an esthetician. She's also a product formulator. She's the founder of Paula's Choice. She's also like a number one request of our listeners. You guys have wanted us to get her here forever. She's finally in the studio. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you.
And hi, Paula.
Thank you. And that's just a great introduction, and hello to all your wonderful fans, and I'm really flattered and honored.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So first of all, you have this reputation. You're known as the cosmetics cop.
Right, right.
So scary.
I know.
It. Well, actually, it was...
How'd you get that name?
Oprah Winfrey. So when I went on the Oprah Winfrey show after writing my first book many, many years ago, she, when we were sitting talking on air, she said, so what you do is kind of like being the cosmetics cop. I thought, well, yeah, that's exactly what I do. And then I remember going backstage and saying, that is the best handle. That is the best tag name. Can I use it? Do you mind me using it? And, you know, she said, no, of course not. And then I went on to do her show many times, and she kept calling me the cosmetics cop, and it just stuck.
And so when she said, what you do is like this, what is it that you do? Or what were you doing then?
Yeah, what are you busting?
Well, and that I'm still doing. So, and what I have a passion to do. So I grew up with very terrible skin. I still struggle with acne. Thankfully, I have it under control. Large pores, oily skin, but terrible acne as a teenager and terrible eczema. It was horrendous, just torturous, as most people with acne understand. And everything I used at the cosmetic counters, everything I got from dermatologists either made my skin worse or just did nothing. And thankfully, one of the things my parents, I think, did right is they let me use makeup to cover it up. And I actually got pretty good at doing makeup. So when I sent myself through university, I either worked as a makeup artist or a waitress, depending on which business, where I was making the most money. And occasionally I tried to get a job at a cosmetic counter. I was good at makeup, give that a shot. But I kept getting fired. Because, you know, somebody would come up and say, does this toner or astringent close pores? And I would say, well, if it closed pores, who would have a pore? Mm-hmm. You know, if this, you know, cellulite product got rid of cellulite, you know, who would have cellulite? Sorry, I'm just remembering. So I kept getting fired.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the sales manager would come down, hear me talking, and, you know, obviously I wasn't saying what I was supposed to say. So as I went on in university and I majored in the sciences, I was particularly biology. I was actually mostly interested in neuroscience, which obviously I never finished. But I used that opportunity back in the day to start researching about skincare. I had access to a medical library and, you know, no Google. So microfiche, I don't even know if half of your audience even knows what microfiche is, but that's the way you would read and get research. And so I just spent, while I was doing my other research, I would take the time to learn about the physiology of skin, ingredients. And then that just stuck. That passion to understand and learn and see what was crazy about, you know, what was going wrong with the skincare products I was buying was just astounding to me. And then I went on to write my, well, I also was a reporter for a while. When I moved to Seattle, Washington, I got a job as a reporter, kind of doing science, beauty, lifestyle pieces, which was fascinating. I learned a lot about, you know, short form authoring, writing, information, you know, and a type, how you put research down in digestible ways, and wrote my first book, and here we are.
Now, your first book was called Blue Eyeshadow Should Be Illegal, correct?
Yes.
Do we still feel that way?
Well, yeah, actually, I strongly feel that way. So aesthetics.
Why, Paula? Why can't we wear blue?
It wasn't just like a snazzy headline?
Of course, it was a snazzy headline, but it was a headline I believed in. So at the time, and you know, I have less opinion these days about really any concept of beauty a woman wants to achieve for herself on her journey. On her estrogen-loaded journey, right? We have estrogen. Being beautiful is just part of our genetic need, want, desire. I don't care what a woman says about, oh, I don't care about beauty and cosmetics. And I'm thinking, did you brush your teeth? Did you wash your face? Yeah. Did you wash your hair? Mm-hmm. You're doing something to groom yourself. You are interested in beauty, just on the spectrum of what it means to the individual. What I care about is that when you use products, they do what they say. I don't want anyone to go through what I went through, being disappointed using terrible products that either hurt skin and absolutely can't live up to their claims. So what blue eyeshadow should be illegal at the time represented is that women trying to achieve looking and feeling beautiful in all of the fashion magazines, the trends, nobody was wearing blue eyeshadow. But the number one selling color in the country at the time in the United
States.
What
year was this?
1984.
Okay.
Well, mostly the 80s.
Yeah.
Blue eyeshadow was the best selling color. It was like the typical color women wore. And I just, you know, what was going wrong at the cosmetic counter that here are these trends that this is what is, you know, thought of as a perfect makeup, and then women are just slapping a shade of blue across their eye. So it was more representative of what goes crazy at the cosmetic counter. But, you know, you want to wear blue eyeshadow, really. I mean, as long as it goes on well, it stays, it does, it has a smooth, creamy application. It isn't obnoxiously expensive, believing that expensive means better. You know, I'm easy going. It's products that hurt skin, don't help skin, or you believe the myths about skincare. And that's
so ultimately, it's like you, the blue eyeshadow. It's not about the blue eyeshadow necessarily. It's the kind of disingenuous.
Yes,
it's selling someone something that isn't necessarily going to benefit them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty so much that summed it up really well. Should I have just said
No. I appreciate the visual of going to the counter and skipping away with my blue eyeshadow. I think it's going to look amazing. So why do you, I mean, you've answered part of this, but you know, you're the beauty industry's watchdog, the cop. Why do you think the industry needs one now, especially, you know, when you started doing this, you know, we didn't have, like, the web didn't exist. Like, there wasn't Instagram with 80,000 people telling you, like, I mean, Fat Mascara, we have, right now, I just checked our, like, Facebook group, you know, I don't look at it for a day, and it's like an entire group is telling each other when somebody asks a question, they've answered the question before I could even chime in. Like, you know, I'm like an editor, but you know, it's almost like they don't need me.
I understand.
They've already answered the question about what to do with the P50 and should they use it on a cotton pad or not, or the Q-tip. It's okay. Unbelievable. Right. They're their own experts.
Well, okay. So
where do you fit in?
I'll tell you, because I have strong feelings about this.
Okay.
Because I get asked by reporters all the time.
Yeah.
All around the world.
Did you freak out when the web came out? Like, are you know?
No, I was the first cosmetic company on the internet. Are you kidding? It was the best of all.
No, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like as people have become more informed, and I say that with quotation marks.
So that's the issue. So one is the internet was a miracle for me because I didn't want to be, when I launched Paula's Choice, it launched on the internet. It is still primarily an internet cosmetic company. I couldn't imagine distributing my products to department stores and drug stores and leaving women to, I can't train thousands of cosmetic salespeople to know what they need to know, to understand why to use a product, how to use a product, not to use the wrong product. So I trained everybody. I still train everybody globally. I mean, we have, we're distributed around the world. So the information on the website is very controlled, edited, researched information, and I'll explain
later. And which website?
Paula'sChoice.com.
Okay.
And also Beautypedia.com.
Okay.
But Paula'sChoice.com has all of the content, all of the how do you get rid of acne, what about brown discoloration.
The ingredient dictionary, which I've looked at a million times in my beauty editor career.
The ingredient dictionary. So what reporters ask me, aren't women smarter now than ever before about mm-hmm. skincare? You know what it is? We've always been smart. Women have never been stupid. I don't even get the question. What the issue is that the information that floats around is still the same crazy information that I have dealt with my whole career. And so women share information that they think they have the researched, true factual information, and I just see the same crazy bullshit running around the internet.
Can you give me an example?
I see products, well, fragrance. Let's just deal with fragrance because I would say at least 80% of skincare products contain some form of fragrance. We believe essential oils are good because they're natural. Essential oils actually are one of the worst irritants in skincare products. Irritation is bad for skin. Hands down, always, doesn't matter. Synthetic, natural fragrance hurts skin terribly. By chemistry nature, they are volatile compounds. You know, you ever get a little bit of lemon on your fingernail when you're cooking and it's a little, you know, it hurts.
But not everyone's skin.
Everyone's skin.
You think every single person who puts an essential on their skin is like running to the dermatologist?
No. See, here's the misconception is you think that irritation is about what you see on the surface of skin. And what the research started, and when I first wrote, I would have said the same thing. And I wrote, you know, you don't see irritation on the surface, you're not being irritated. Yeah. And then research came out in the 90s, and it's pretty much has never been contradicted, actually never been contradicted, is that when you irritate skin is actually very good at hiding irritation. And one of the reasons we know that is just take UVA exposure. So sun damage, 1 minute of walking outside and you're being damaged. Your skin is being inflamed, free radical damage is triggered, you're breaking down collagen, you're hurting the skin's healing response, mm-hmm. on and on and on, and you don't feel a thing. The bad rays of the sun, the UVA rays of the sun, the skin cancer causing cell mutating rays mm-hmm. of the sun come through windows. You don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So the research is very clear that whether you see irritation on the surface of skin or not, you are damaging your skin. I can't do anything about that fact. You don't have to believe it. That's fine.
At a micro level, right?
Like that's what at a macro level. No.
But meaning like not visible to the eye always.
Oh, I'm sorry. The damage sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes a lot of people, it's on the surface. They don't even know that that's the red, you know. They'll see redness and open pores, and they think they're working on it. And actually, irritation causes pores to enlarge. It triggers androgens. How geeky do you want me to get? I can geek out
we'll,
on this.
We'll
stuff.
Rein you in if you're getting too
okay,
geeky.
All right,
but
stop,
I mean,
stop me.
I think what you're saying is important that people don't realize,
right.
And they pass on these myths to each other that
yes.
like this and product works,
and it's endlessly. And some of it is that. They, again, because you don't necessarily see the irritation, you know,
what you were saying is that people pass on, like that the women have always been, they're smart, but there are ideas
smart.
That are perpetuated and that's what you want to.
That hasn't changed since I started.
And you want to debunk the myths.
And the facts have changed.
Right.
You know, some of it's one of the reasons I wrote 21 books and I have dozens of articles on
science involved.
Paula's
yeah.
Yeah. So for example, one of the things that changed just recently, which was just fascinating to me, is, and we'll take an ingredient that's a good ingredient. So azelaic acid and niacinamide are old ingredients. They've been around forever. We've known about niacinamide and azelaic acid and their benefits. Niacinamide was mostly about pore size, original research, and azelaic acid was about acne and exfoliation. Was never really so good about exfoliation and acne, but some research showing Okay, the research about benzyl peroxide and salicylic acid, BHA, far supersedes what azelaic acid can do. But then, within the past few years, niacinamide was not only shown to improve pore size, it also hydrates, it helps restructure skin. It seems to be a cell-communicating ingredient, much like retinol, telling skin cells to do a better job. So it's anti-aging. So
isn't it very good for brightening as well?
Only because it helps improve. Well, because it improves the way the surface of skin is structured. Then when you align skin, when you start ripping apart skin, you stop the irritation, harsh scrubs, you know, abrading your skin, protecting your skin from sun damage, using healthy ingredients that help improve the surface of skin, you get a smoother surface so you get more reflection. In terms of interrupting, unhealthy melanin production, abnormal melanin production, some research, but I wouldn't say it's, it's okay. I mean, but I wouldn't just use niacinamide. I wouldn't expect it to get rid of brown spots. Brightening, I think, is a fine claim for that. So then azelaic acid, what really, 10% and greater concentrations of azelaic, what the research shows is what it's really good at is rosacea, improving rosacea, reducing redness, reducing inflammation, and this is very recent research, interrupts bad melanin production, unhealthy, damaged melanin production. So what we can do on the internet that I could never do in my books until I did another edition is I can go in and update everything. I can update the articles, the reviews that I do on Beautypedia. I
mean, you have to wait 2-3 years. Yeah.
So the power from the day I started on the internet, the power of being able to move with the research. Mm-hmm. And because of who we are as a company and being on the internet, I can also move quicker on formulary changes because I don't have to worry about thousands of products sitting on cosmetic counters waiting to sell through. We can move with the research. So, yeah, I love the internet. I don't know if I answered your question. I went down a strange path.
No. It's a conversation. Like, one of the things, you know, you're talking about ingredients as being like this ingredient you're a fan of, this one you're not. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, that feels very binary because some ingredients, it's like how they're formulated or, you know, how a different version of the ingredient. Is this just the easiest way for you to explain to your readers because it is so complex?
I'm sorry. I don't know that I get your question.
An ingredient might be, you know, to say ingredient X, you're not a fan of because, you know, you don't like it for this.
I'm not a fan or not a fan. I have no belief about skincare. I don't believe anything. And I am not a fan. I have changed what I say about ingredients because the research has changed. The facts about what we know about physiology of skin has changed. I have no belief.
This is good. This
because
is bad.
I've heard people say like, oh, I don't like this because Paula doesn't like it. And it's like, well, that ingredient might not work in this formulation or this brand might not do a great job of that. But, you know, this ingredient might work in X formulation.
All right. So then if it's a good ingredient.
Maybe, you know, maybe that's just the easiest way.
No. Take a look at my work. No. I don't know if you've looked at what I do on Beautypedia or what I do on Paula's Choice, but that's not what I do. So I've formulated over 150 products in my career. I've consulted for dozens of cosmetic companies in the 40 years I've been in the industry. I absolutely understand that an ingredient in this formula, like a bad ingredient is a bad ingredient. That doesn't change. You can't change the molecular structure and the physiology of an ingredient. So if an ingredient like SD alcohol it causes free radical damage, you mix it in with other skincare ingredients, it is still its molecular structure and it still hits skin really hard. But you can take a good ingredient, niacinamide, and you can mix it with irritating ingredients, and the niacinamide is there, but if it's there with fragrance and irritating plant extracts and synthetic fragrance or whatever, then the formula is downrated. It's always about how the formulation and the ingredients combine. The ingredient in of itself is what matters, and then how it's mixed together to keep it
and
stable.
What levels and potency.
Right.
And
I mean, and that's just formulary fact.
I feel like people have taken away that, like, they're like, oh, Paula says no. Paula says yes.
But if they don't look at, so hopefully they say that because they've looked, if it's somebody else's product, they've looked at the, so every review on Beautypedia has a list of the research we've used to determine why we say what we say. We're the only cosmetics company, the only research site that lists the facts. I never just think something. Mm-hmm. You look at every Paula's Choice product page, you look at every review on Beautypedia, and there are the dozens and dozens of studies we've used to determine for my products what to put in it, why mm-hmm. we developed it the way we did, what the
sure.
research says about
you're
the ingredients.
Creating a product, yeah.
And then if it's what we're saying about what we do as critics on Beautypedia, then we list the research, again, the same thing, why we're saying what we say. So if they're saying yes or no, Paula likes or doesn't like it, hopefully they've looked at why.
And they're just simplifying, too.
And, well, of course. Yeah. I mean, because you can only do so much.
You know, I listen to you guys talking, and I'm thinking, and I think a lot of people think, oh, well, the government makes sure that everything is safe that I'm going to put on my skin anyway, so it doesn't matter. Can you let our listeners know how the government is involved in cosmetic regulation, and do you think the government needs to be more involved?
Oh, God, please don't get the government more involved.
Okay.
How
does it work now? Just
God.
So people know. I feel like you talk about
so
this on your
crazy.
Site, and a lot of people still don't understand.
Well, it is hard to understand because don't misunderstand me. I think the government's intent, hopefully the government's intent, is to make us safe.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I see them putting out regulations and doing things that just makes no sense.
And how do they regulate cosmetics right
well,
now?
Well, pretty loosely, but
meaning not every product that everybody tries has been tested by the government.
Oh,
correct?
No,
never. I feel like a lot of people don't know that. I want you to tell us.
Really?
They would just be sitting around like putting on eyeliner all day.
There's no question that the FDA is not involved in testing any. Actually, the only country, there's no country in the world that spends the money to monitor and test cosmetic formularies. What they do sometimes is they make ingredients legal or illegal, but sometimes it's just crazy. Like, for example, in Europe, and everybody says, oh, Europe, their FDA is so much better than ours. In Europe, they made, they're making retinol, R-E-T-I-N-O-L, the vitamin A, they're making it illegal. They're
Why?
Going to take it, because they're I don't think they haven't read the research. I have no clue why.
So when,
and they, you can't benzyl peroxide.
Yeah,
one of the most standard, well-researched, even the British Lancet, the French medical journal, say it's the first step in treating acne. You can't buy it
you
except
can't
with
buy
a
it
prescription.
In the UK.
And then
yeah.
it's, no, anywhere in Europe. I mean, I could go on and on of what they've made illegal. Of course, they don't make hair dye illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could point a dozen studies to you about why hair dye is probably one of the worst things for the environment. But, you know, they want to get votes. And if they make hair dye illegal,
what
woman is going to go around with her?
There's yes. obviously lobbyists involved in all of this that probably have something to do with it. But what do you think the U.S. government is doing wrong? Like, what would you like them to
we're
them
much,
do?
We're much looser.
And you like that?
Yeah, pretty much, because I don't see regulations in other countries helping anybody. If the regulations helped, but in the United States, what is most hampering to a formulator right now is that we haven't approved enough sunscreen.
I was just going to ask about
actives,
that. Yeah,
when I formulate for my overseas, so we have products that obviously. I make benzoyl peroxide products here, and I'm not getting rid of my retinol products here. They're some of my more beautiful products. So the products I make for overseas are sometimes different. Oh, by the way, in Korea, they made azelaic acid illegal, and they made BHA, salicylic acid, illegal. Don't even begin to ask me. I don't know what they were thinking. So,
but you would like more sunscreen ingredients.
So one of the things I would like to see the FDA do more is improve my ability to make more, not that the sunscreens that we have aren't good. The sunscreens we have, they meet that standard. Whatever that number is, SPF 30, those ingredients
provide. You want cosmetic elegance and you want to be able to formulate differently. I get it.
I love
sunscreen.
Yeah. Well, yes, sunscreen, you brush your teeth,
is that
and sunscreen, you go to the bathroom. Those are the big things in the morning.
So is that one of your more popular topics on your website? Like, what is the article you've written or the entry on your website or book that is the most popular?
What I'm most known for, kind of interesting, is exfoliants, that the AHAs and BHAs. As a cosmetic company, I have over 22 different AHA, BHA formulations. I think the research is pretty clear that the need to use a gentle exfoliant as you get older, and I mean like in your teens, because of sun damage, because of blemishes, because of clogged pores, but mostly sun damage. Most of us by the age of 14, 15 have a good amount of sun damage, and if you have any acne or blemishes, BHA is about a standard.
That's popular,
I want to get back to back to this this like government thing, because I know there are people who are thinking, wait a second, I've got on my Instagram, I've got on my Facebook, all of these brands saying we've got to campaign for like safer cosmetics. It's like the trendiest thing what are they at, like, are they just completely like off their rocker, or
who's off their rocker,
brands, or like what are they fighting for? Because everything seems to be like with good intentions. Are they complete idealists, or are they looking in the wrong direction?
Well, I think they're. Some of the myths that they want the government to handle is based on bad research. Maybe
incomplete. Misguided?
Well, just not clearly. I don't even know what to call it. I don't understand. Here's, they want to make parabens illegal. They want to make mineral oil illegal. They want to make the sulfates illegal. And yet, when you look at the research, actually, mineral oil is a brilliant cosmetic ingredient, and it's used in wound healing, and it's like fabulous for dry skin. That when you see the research about it being evil and bad, is they're looking at the petroleum industry when it still contains benzene, and that's bad for skin. But when you get it purified, and it's brilliant for skin. I mean, think about a plant. When a plant gets pulled out of the ground, it's got worms, and it's got, manure, whatever they put in the dirt. You got to clean up the plant, too. So the notion of cleaning up an ingredient because of its source, same thing. I mean, minerals that they put in products. Well, came out of the ground with a lot of minerals you don't want. So you got to clean that one up too. So that mineral oil gets a bad rap because it comes from the petroleum industry makes no sense.
Right.
The research doesn't back it up. Parabens is probably one of the silliest ones that is no parabens. And parabens are a brilliant, actually one of the least irritating, best source of preserving a product, because you needed to use so little of it, and it was broad spectrum. Killed fungus, killed mold. You didn't need much of it. So it was incredibly safe for skin. It's natural. In fact, one of the reasons plants stay alive and, you know, fight fungus and mold that they get is they contain parabens. So the issue is...
Wait, plants, fungus, and mold contain parabens?
No, plants contain parabens,
to fight
which are a preservative to keep mold
from growing that
on them.
Okay, got it.
Right? So they don't die. It's a natural way that they protect themselves. That's how we learned about parabens as a preservative.
Okay.
So the craziness going around on the internet is it causes breast cancer and it's an endocrine disruptor. But when you look at the research, when parabens absorb into skin and they break down, they are no longer parabens. And I can go into the chemistry of what they become, but they're not parabens. But because parabens are found in food, and they are a food-grade preservative, when you see the studies that say, oh, parabens are in urine, and you can measure it, and they're endocrine disruptors, well, first of all, the most likely source, if not the source, is it's dietary.
Yeah.
You ate the stuff because right. it's in the plants we eat. It's in the foods that are preserved with yeah. parabens. Plant extracts are often preserved with parabens because they're just so friendly to the paraben.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, to the plant because it's natural to the plant. Raspberries are a great source of parabens. So when I what I worry about is when these grassroots myths move to lobbyists and that, government bodies, to talk and try to convince to make things illegal. And I don't get it. I don't see what research they're looking at. It's incomplete. And, I don't know. It's bad for skincare.
I think about how you were one of the first people to pull back the curtain on the industry. And it seems like a lot of the other people who are trying to pull, a group of people who are trying to pull back the curtain on the industry right now are very much advocates for quote unquote natural brands.
I know.
And they're kind of like the Paula, Paula's.
But they want you to be afraid.
But that's where I'm going with this.
Oh, sorry. I'll stop.
So they are, Paula Part Two, but they're pulling back the curtain, it's a fear campaign.
Our products are good. Everybody else's products are bad.
Right. I don't think they're necessarily, and I'm not naming and shaming brands. I'm just talking about a climate. It's a climate of,
I agree.
Yeah, of shaming what you've been doing for your whole life.
Fear-mongering.
Yeah.
It's fear-mongering. I agree.
So I'm curious what you think, and I'm not asking you to name and shame brands.
No.
But that would not be a great idea
Not a good idea.
But what you think about just sort of the naturals as a category?
So again, I don't think because it's either the
what
fact
does the
or
research
it's not
show
the fact.
You, Paula?
Thank you. Because I don't.
Everyone, Paula doesn't think, she researches.
I do. And then I
just
come
I
up
want to
with
set
a,
the record straight here. Okay.
So, but let me tell you why I'm so adamant about that is because I know I'm being very adamant about that is because I've changed. If the research changes, I didn't know about UVA damage in the early 90s. It wasn't there. Skincare, sunscreen ingredients didn't even filter for them. Right. We didn't know about them. We didn't know about the pure minerals sunscreens as being, great for sensitive skin, a great option for around the eye. I mean, things have changed as the research has changed. So I'm saying it's based on the research because what I know to be fact today,
might
if it changes, you'll have to have me back or
right.
come to my website.
Based on what you know right now, what do you think of these all-natural categories that are preserving with essential oils that aren't using parabens, sulfates,
okay, so
et cetera?
Let's talk about first the notion that all-natural is good and everything else is bad is just not true. There are a lot of natural ingredients. Essential oils is probably the primary one.
That are irritating.
Well, just incredibly sensitizing and irritating and damage skin. Research is very clear about that. And you know what's sad about it is that plant oils can be such a great source of antioxidants and soothing
agents.
Yeah,
are these products efficacious then?
Let me just finish about essential oils. Essential oils are about the volatile wafting fragrance. That volatility is what hits the skin and damages it, triggers nerve endings to do very bad things. So there are so many brilliant oils that have no fragrance that when they show up in skincare products, they're brilliant for skin. But there's this whole myth about essential oils doing everything for skin. So the issue is that just because it comes out of the ground doesn't make it good for skin.
Right.
And then it also limits what I can deliver to your skin to help it. Salicylic acid, and benzoyl peroxide, which if you have acne, the research is very clear that is the first line of defense. There is no research, independent published research that shows that these alternatives work as well or even vaguely as well as first line of defense for BHA and benzoyl peroxide.
But you're not going to find them in these kind of brands we were just
No, because they're not natural.
Right.
Also, there's the issue, one of the ways we formulate products, and it's fine when you're natural, as long as you, by the way, just to be clear, that you don't use irritating ingredients. It's just hard to find those products.
Got it.
There's few of them out there, but not many. So grape extract is a great grape oil, great antioxidant, great properties for skin. Really brilliant. We use it. But what is the skin really needs, aside from the oil part of it, the soothing, moisturizing part for the surface, because it doesn't absorb in very much, is that the active ingredient, the active antioxidant, the resveratrol in the plant, that's what you want as another layer of taking care of skin. Mm-hmm. But resveratrol isn't natural. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't get that in a natural product because they wouldn't use it. But it is more stable. It is more bioactive.
When you take it out of the grape juice.
Right.
The grape,
well, and, you make it synthetically. You really can't get
oh,
it.
Oh, I see.
You're not processing it out of the plant.
You know, we're getting very technical. But I was asking you, like, what you thought, and I know you said you don't think, but just, like, more philosophically, like, do you think this climate, do you think this has legs? Do you think...
Oh, yeah.
No. You know...
It's not going away. I don't think it's good skincare. What I
But do you think there's something like disingenuous about it? Do you think these brand owners and founders will eventually like have to have like will they have a
an
moment
an epiphany?
An epiphany, or is someone going to call them on their, you know, BS? No. Like that's what I'm asking for your commentary.
I've been doing it for 40 years. I haven't changed. You know, there's still fragrance, there's jar packaging, which is, you know, I would say 80% of the moisturizers you see at the cosmetic counters come in jars, and that's just sad because the
that's
beautiful...
That's so funny. That was my next question. We know you have a thing against skincare in jars. Why, Paula?
Because...
But what does the jars have to do with what I was asking?
So would the industry change?
It has in the last 40 years.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I feel like what these people are saying, like, I'm seeing a lot of... shiftiness, I think, a lot of...
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I've been writing about it for 40 years.
But as people are, I think, are getting smarter or more, like, awakened, you know, we didn't have the internet 40 years ago, I would like to think people are like, actually, this person's kind of a charlatan, or actually, this person,
well,
like...
I haven't seen it very much.
You think I'm giving people too much credit?
Well, I don't think that people have credit or not credit. I think it's very... I think... Skincare is rocket science. It's very hard to grasp. Like you just said, I'm getting kind of geeky. It is a geeky...
I didn't say you were getting geeky.
Oh.
I said you're getting technical.
Oh, sorry. Geeky, technical. I mean, I see them as the same. But nevertheless, technical.
Yeah.
It's... And I, because of what I do for a living, I tend to be technical. But the issue is that whether... Again, I think people have always been smart. I think that science and chemistry, I mean, I use the telephone. I have no clue how that telephone works. I know it works.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Right. Yeah.
And so I think
space particles. Yeah.
I think that it's easier to understand the myths and to understand the fear mongering, mm-hmm. and to understand the quips, the little headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? It's just easier. My technical stuff is technical. It's boring.
Yeah.
So I think that what's sad to me is that I know it cheats women's skin, that they're not getting the best that they can get, and that many products are damaging their skin. There's a lot of great products out there. That's what I care about, is women use great products. Mm-hmm. To go back to the jar thing, when you have a brilliantly formulated product with all these gorgeous ingredients, even let's say it's even an all-natural product that doesn't contain any irritants, you take a lid off of a product, air gets in, and it starts oxidizing. It starts destroying those ingredients. You know, think about how long a head of lettuce lasts in your refrigerator.
Ugh.
Not very long.
No.
So the not to mention you stick your finger in, you transfer bacteria. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So is the industry going to change? I've been working on the industry changing for a very long time. And I see some really great products. I have seen shifts, and I've also seen problems and myths and lies that just get perpetuated. So
yeah.
I'm not going to stop. I mean, maybe when I'm under, you know, 6 feet under, I'll have to stop. But hopefully my company will carry my legacy.
Let's talk about your company for a second. You do make products. You have 150-something products?
Not anymore. I mean,
how many products do you
have? How many products do you have? I think we have 80.
Okay. So obviously someone's not going to put 80 products on their skin.
Oh, God forbid.
Why?
Oh, my God.
What are some of the key things that can work across for all women, because you're not going to put all those things on your face. And
right.
You don't need all those things.
So one of the things I just did recently is I formulated a new product line called Defense, and it's my first step into an all-skin type simple routine to start a woman, particularly a young woman, on a path of great skincare. It's a three-step routine, but the daytime moisturizer is different from the nighttime moisturizer because obviously the daytime moisturizer contains a pure mineral sunscreen. So if I can get somebody started young enough on a path of great skincare, that I can help them avoid, like, I wish I knew what I knew, what I know now,
yeah,
and I would have saved myself a lot of headache along the way. You know, at 65, I look back and I go, really?
You're 65?
I will be in November.
Oh,
I'm kind
wow.
of gearing myself
looking
up to
good.
It.
Looking good. Looking good.
She does the research, Jess.
Looking good.
That's why. So what's in this three-step that you wish everyone had started when they were younger?
So, but just to explain, so mm-hmm. 80 products, what I concentrated on most of my career is making skincare routines mm-hmm. for different skin types.
Yeah.
Normal to oily, normal to dry, and more complex because, you know, skin is complicated. I know the limitation of four products, especially if you have advanced signs of sun damage, you have advanced signs of rosacea. If you have skin problems,
you
brown
discolor,
then you need more. But if I can get in front of that for you,
mm-hmm.
maybe you won't, because I have a 10% azelaic acid product, a 10% niacinamide product for and many others, you know, loaded, well, whatever I have, to deal with more advanced problems.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can get a young person on a path,
mm-hmm.
so the all skin, it's called Defense, and what it is, it's a gel to cream cleanser that works for all skin types. It goes over the eye area, won't irritate the eye area. You can use it with a soft washcloth. As long as it's not abrasive, a soft washcloth to help make sure you get all your makeup off. You can use it with a Clarisonic if you're using the cashmere head. Their other heads hurt the skin, but the cashmere head is great to help make sure you get all the makeup off. It has some hydrating ingredients so that when you get done rinsing it off and cushioning ingredients, your skin doesn't feel tight like you can't open
mm-hmm.
your
yeah.
mouth. And it doesn't hurt the eye area. The next step is what we call the pore refiner. And purifier, I think. I actually don't remember names so well. Because once I make products, then I'm working on another 25 products now. So ingredients are just floating
the
around
pore
in
thing.
My head. It's so much fun. I do love it. So the pore refiner contains a form of azelaic acid, and it contains some niacinamide. It contains some, a whole bunch of antioxidants to interrupt environmental damage. So azelaic acid, as you said, a brightening ingredient, helps reduce inflammation, helps reduce free radical damage, niacinamide to help refine the pore, and a lower percentage of salicylic acid, BHA, 0.5%. So you don't quite have deeply clogged pores. You just want to kind of start preventing them. If you start preventing them, they won't get worse. So this product is a combination
mm-hmm.
to get you started for brighter, softer skin, antioxidants to fight environmental damage, help keep the pore shape normal, exfoliate to take off the built-up layers of dead skin, and hopefully because you're using the next step in the morning, which is the SPF 30 sunscreen, very lightweight, little lightly tinted, works for all skin tones and skin color, also has environmental interrupting ingredients, antioxidants, lightly hydrating ingredients. It feels sheer and light.
These are things that work for everybody, right?
Well, if you had very terribly oily, acne skin, you're not going to be happy with this line. And I got a lot of other products for that. If you have atopic or very dry skin, you're not going to be happy with it. But if you're everybody in the middle, and a lot of young people, if they took better care of their skin, wouldn't get advanced.
They're doing sheet masks, though. How's that? What do you think about sheet masks?
So,
slow blink from Paula.
I would use, well, because what comes up is a very nasty four-letter word with an ED at the end of it. It's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. There is,
as far as efficacious.
Yeah, I mean, there's.
But they look cute. You'll admit
well,
it, right?
No, actually, quite the contrary. I think sitting, you know, you're usually doing it at night.
Right.
Takes about, I don't know how much time, different companies say different things, 15, 20, 30 minutes. You know, your good-looking boyfriend or girlfriend is sitting in bed waiting for you. Uh-huh. And they're going, come on, darling. And you're going, sorry, wait one, a few more minutes. I've got this mask on. Sure as hell not doing it with that mask on. And then by the time you get it off, they've fallen asleep and you're out of luck. I mean, we have better things to do as women. If it really was... Oh, they're looking like, are you going to cut that out? Is that like,
no.
That? Okay, all right.
No.
So if
I just in my head it turned into, if you want to get laid, don't use sheet masks.
What a waste of time. If it was helpful,
oh
if
my
it
gosh.
Was a better way of delivery,
yeah, yeah.
I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
Here's the bullshit.
Yeah.
Is skincare ingredients absorb? Take this one in. Based on their molecular size.
Yes.
They don't need help.
They don't need extra time or a layer of cellulose laying over them.
No.
Okay. So where because do you think this came from?
Insanity. I have no clue because it's not science.
Oh, what do you think of this?
Wait, let me finish.
Hola.
Wait.
Jeez.
I know. Sorry. Terrible. So here's the issue. Pollution absorbs into skin.
Yeah.
That you don't have to massage it in, you don't have to use microcurrents, you don't have to use microneedling. The pollution, that small molecular size
if
of
you believe
pollution,
that gets in,
it gets
then
in.
Believe the ingredients get in. Gotcha. What
based,
do you want to know?
Based on its molecular size.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the friggin' sheet mask.
Can I talk?
No.
Okay. Paula.
Yes.
What do you think of K-Beauty? The K-Beauty craze.
I'm K-Beauty. I've been in Korea before K-Beauty.
So you think it's bullshit?
I think there are some great Korean brands. I think there's some great French brands.
So
well,
so there's nothing.
I don't know brands.
So there's
products.
Nothing special about K-Beauty?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
I haven't seen.
Just wanted to close the book on that one.
I haven't seen. I mean, they have. There's some good formulas there, but I don't see them.
Close to the mic.
As any different than. I mean, the ingredients right. are the ingredients.
But
the
it's not like people like lose their minds that like Korea has
they
a monopoly
know.
On skincare
right.
and they don't.
Right. And a handful of years ago, the French knew and then the Swiss knew and now the Japanese knew. Now we have J-Beauty.
And so, do you laugh at that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay. Like what do they? Well, first of all, it's the science. What do they know that we don't know? It's
There's
just
some
published
somewhere.
Yeah, like they chain their scientists to their company.
Yeah.
If you work for a Japanese or a Korean company, they chain their scientists so they can't go anywhere else and they're slaves and so they keep their secrets in-house.
It makes me so mad. They're like, oh, all like the smart scientists, like they're all in Korea now. Oh, now they're all in Japan.
And none of them emigrate to the United States or publish their research. I mean, please. Like there's only idiots in America. I mean.
So what are we going to do to get the word out about this stuff?
Hello.
Besides have Fat Mascara
Hello.
Like drop the news? Well, we have
Hello.
You here this week, but like what are we...
I have paulaschoice.com.
Okay,
paulaschoice.com.
Beautypedia.
You know, I don't know. Other than, you know, I don't know.
What do you think of beauty coverage right now? Like just, you know, like all the beauty blogs, all the beauty websites, do you feel like...
They
you know,
often just pass around...
The
sometimes
same
I, it's
same
not
stuff.
Like I haven't run around and seen good information. But way too often, it's just one myth repeated after the other. There's exceptions by far. I mean, there's really some good information out there. But in comparison to the actual research, I often see it just myths bounced around time after time. And it's hard. I've worked so hard. Skincare is complicated.
Yeah.
Skincare is complicated. And it's also brilliant. When it's good, it does miraculous things. It doesn't replace what cosmetic surgery, and there are no products that replace what cosmetic surgery and Botox and fillers and, you know, certain lasers and light treatments. It doesn't replace that, not in any way, shape, or form. But if I can start you early enough, and I can while, and if you even start later, and I get you the right products to fight what's already happened, great skincare can make incredible differences.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I've experienced it personally. I know what the research says. And that's what makes it exciting. And what makes it sad is when the products don't contain what can make a difference, what really can improve skin. And the worst thing that's happening right now is people are afraid of sunscreen. And there's all the myths around this vitamin D thing that just drives me nuts. And
the myth that you need vitamin D, you need to like have
sun exposure
to go.
Well, you need, so UVB is what makes the body make vitamin D. And so you'll see information on the internet. You go, need to go outside for so much time and da da da. Turns
out Giselle doesn't wear sunscreen and all that.
Right. So the notion that getting a tan and sun exposure helps you with vitamin D production, it turns out that getting a tan actually blocks vitamin D.
You set the record
straight. And don't sacrifice one problem for another. Skin cancer, I can take a vitamin D supplement. And
Paula, I really appreciate it. I know it's such a complicated conversation, very nuanced.
I hope I helped your audience.
I'm sure that you did.
We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah,
and we really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much.
I'm thrilled. Thank you,
Thanks,
Fat
Paula.
Mascara.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.